Praise the Lord, and thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of In the Light. I'm so excited to be sharing a word from God with you, and I do believe that the word that I'm about to share and minister to your life is a word in due season. You know, I pray according to the scripture in Isaiah that says, Lord, I pray that you will give me a word in due season to minister to him that is weary. So this is a word in due season for your life. It may not be a new word, but it's definitely a now word, and I want you to release your faith to receive the good things that God has for you by his spirit and by his word. Praise God. Now, as we prepare to study the word of God, I'm going to share with you on the topic of building for eternity. We're going to be talking about building for eternity. You know, there is life after this life. There is more than what we see in the day-to-day, waking up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, waking up, going to work, coming home, going to bed routine that makes up a lot of people's lives. Our lives are designed to be bigger than ourselves. We're designed to live beyond ourselves, to extend ourselves to others so that we can store up fruit and rewards that will abound to our heavenly account so that when we cross over into the other side, we will have a glorious reward waiting for us. And so with that in mind, we have to begin to build for eternity. You have to become eternity minded. And you know, I believe we're closer to eternity now than we've ever been. Surely for those of us who are living and breathing and walking around, that's true. But I believe for all generations, we are that generation that is going to usher in and is going to be blessed to receive the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as he raptures away his church. And so in talking and studying the scriptures on this and ministering to you about it, I get so excited because it is a primary calling of mine and on my life given to me and mandated by the Lord for my ministry that I preach and minister and inform the people of God, the people of the world, that Jesus is coming back. He's on his way back. And you know, I'll just share a little bit with you something that's very precious to me, which is my calling into the ministry and exactly how that happened and the mandate, one of the key mandates that the Lord gave me. You know, when you look throughout the scripture, particularly in the Gospels, you get a clear picture of some of the disciples calling into the ministry. We see the Lord going to Peter and his brother Andrew as they were out fishing and working and calling them to follow him and become his disciples and them leaving the fishing trade and the fishing business to become full-time ministers of the gospel or full-time followers of Jesus Christ. We see him going to Levi, the tax collector. We see him going to John and to James, the brothers and the sons of thunder, the Bible calls. We even see the call into the ministry for the Apostle Paul. So there are a lot of people that we've been able to witness their callings. And I just want to share a little bit with you about how the Lord called me into the ministry, because it ties into what his mandate for my life is. And that ties into the message that I'm going to be bringing to you over the next several weeks regarding building for eternity. Bless the Lord. Now, when I was right before my 16th birthday, the Lord appeared to me in a night vision, a dream, you might say. He came to me in a dream, and in the dream, he spoke to me, and he told me that he wanted me to lead his people and to tell them that he was coming back. You see, that's always been on the heart of God, for his people to understand, to recognize, and to know that Jesus is coming back. We have to prepare ourselves for that day. We have to look for him, the Bible says, that he's going to appear unto those who look for him. So in everything in our walk with God, we have to release faith. We have to release faith day by day as we walk out this life, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. But we have to as much release faith in the return of the Lord Jesus and that we're going to expect to see him. So the Lord told me, the first thing he told me, or the thing that he spoke to me in that dream was, I want you to lead my people and tell them I'm coming back. Now, once he told me that, within the vision or within the dream, a vision unfolded and I saw myself doing exactly what the Lord had called me to do. I saw myself leading countless numbers of people that were following behind me as I led them to the Lord. They weren't following me just for my sake. They were following me because I was leading them to God. I was leading them to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the masses of people were falling in line. And I remember being caught up in the vision, but still having a wonder and an amazement that, wow, these people are actually following me. But yet there was such a sense of confidence in me as I led them, because I knew that I was leading them directly to the Lord, who is the source of life, who is our everything. So it wasn't about me. It was about God and about the people that He had chosen and that He loves and that He was ready to receive. And I was leading them, and I had a knowing in the vision that I was leading them directly to the Lord, and that the Lord was waiting for us, and that when we got to where we were supposed to be, we were going to be raptured up. And so this is a now word that I have from God, a mandate that He put on my life as a young girl in my teenage years to lead His people and to tell them that He's coming back. He wants a people that's ready to receive Him when He comes back, and that's ready to be received by Him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that He's coming back. He's returning for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So that means we've got some work to do on this side. And the thing that I witness and that I seem to see taking place among people in this hour, similar to how it was going on in the day of Noah, in the days of Noah, and the Bible makes a clear comparison against these last days and the time of Noah. Because if you recall, when you study that time, people were so intoxicated with their own way of living. They didn't give any mind to the things of God or to the Lord or what was right or what He deemed right for their lives. They followed after whatever passion, whatever lust that they could. And the Bible says the earth was filled with wickedness, so much so that God had to destroy the entire human race, save Noah, the only righteous man that God saw in the whole earth. Thank God for Noah. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be. But God had to literally root out every other person because all they knew was wickedness and unrighteousness. And you know, you don't have to be very spiritual to take the spiritual temperature of the world in which we're living. Everything almost that the world produces now is full of perversion and corruption and goes directly anti-God or anti-Christ. And so there's a foundation being set to receive that system and that spirit of Antichrist that's going to dominate during the period following the rapture of the church and the second advent of the Lord. Between that period, there's going to be a rule by the Antichrist. There's going to be what the Bible refers to as the tribulation, the period of God's wrath being poured out on the earth. And so we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time for salvation. Now is the acceptable time, the Bible says, glory to God, for you to be saved, for you to be in the family of God, for you to be on the right side of this equation. You do not want to be out there in the dark. You want to get in the ark of safety. Hallelujah. And God has made a way through His precious Son, Jesus, and His shed blood. So we're talking about building for eternity. And you know, if you take just a simple analogy of a cup of coffee and you compare that cup of coffee to a body of ocean, it's not hard to see that that cup of coffee is nothing in comparison to that grand ocean. And when you look at our lives, our limited lifespan, even if you were to live out 120 years, which the Bible clearly promises that mankind can live to be at least 120. That's been given to us by God as a gift. Long life is a gift from God. If you're living it right, it will be a gift. Now, if you're living for the devil, if you're living wickedly and for the world, then you're probably going to be broke down. You probably won't have full use of your faculties. Your mind won't be clear and sharp, and your life won't be what God intended. But when Moses died, the Bible says that his natural forces were not abated. His strength was not weakened. He went out strong as he had ever been. And so that's the way we can go when we're living in the plan and the purpose of God for our lives, and when we are becoming the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. But even if you were to live out 120 years, in that time frame, in comparison to the span of eternity, that's nothing. And so why would someone place all of their effort in fulfilling what they consider to be the ultimate for a short time span and forsake the grander and the more eternal and the more sacred and the more enduring aspects of life that deal with eternity? You see, we have to make choices in this realm, and we're so blessed the way God has designed us that we have the right to choose. But we must choose life, because with life comes blessing, but with death comes cursing. And that's a choice that only we can make, and this is the only side of the equation in which we get to make that choice. Once we pass over, after this mortal life has ended, we pass over into eternity, whether that's eternity with God or eternity in hell. So we want to be prepared, and we want to build for eternity. We want to make sure our foundation is secure. We want to make sure that we're going to enter into a glorious reward, a glorious inheritance. And we're going to see a lot about that in the scripture over the next several weeks as we begin to study out what God has to say about the time that is right at hand. See, we're on the horizon, child of God. Understand that Jesus is on his way back. And as we close out this week's teaching, I want to share with you a scripture that God ministered to me just over a year ago, around this time last year, in a time of fasting before God. He could have said anything to me that he wanted. I was seeking him, and he birthed this thing out in my heart so much, and I didn't even know the scripture in this format was in the word. I mean, I know the scripture is full of the proclamation and the declaration that Jesus is returning for his church, but this was given to me out of the Old Testament, and I want you to listen at how clear it is. And this was the word that God was once again witnessing to my heart that he wants you to receive and to get, so that you can begin to prepare yourself, get your house in order, glory be to God, because your Lord is on his way back. This is in Isaiah 40, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And there in verse 9, it says, "Messenger of good news, shout to Zion from the mountaintops." And Zion is sometimes a representation of the church. "Shout louder to Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah." Now, this is what God wants me to tell you. Your God is coming. Your God is coming. Hallelujah. Your God is coming. Child of God, if you've never been serious about the things of God, if you've never made a true commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ before in your life, now is the time. It's time out for what you want that goes contrary to what God wants. It's time to become on fire for God, to sell out, to dedicate yourself, and to prepare for eternity. Thank you for listening, and we're going to continue next time, so make sure you tune in.